You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, April 25th, 2025. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the Civic Media app, watching us on YouTube or Facebook, listening later by podcast, maybe listening as you stand in a rainy parking lot in Green Bay, waiting for the next draft picks to come up. Anyway, thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. How'd you like that moment when the Packers drafted a receiver? I mean, honestly, I was asleep by then, but I listened back to it first thing this morning. It was such a cool moment to wake up to. So in case you missed it, like me, we will play it back for you in just a moment or two. But first, let's tell you what's coming up on the program today. We will talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, not only about what things were like inside the NFL draft festivities, because she was going there, but we'll also talk about the Trump administration trying to come up with ways to encourage women to have more babies. It's a very odd way to address a worker shortage made worse by their anti-immigrant policies and their opposition to things like paid family leave, affordable child care, guaranteed health insurance coverage. But here's a $5,000 check that should cover things. We'll talk to her about that. We will talk about Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's embarrassment as government lawyers appear to risk their careers by mistakenly, quote-unquote, filing paperwork showing his flimsy defense in an ongoing legal spat with New York City. We'll visit live with Devin Remiker. He's currently the executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's in the race to become the next Wisconsin Democratic Party state chair. We will, of course, have our Friday Week in Review panel with journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil will be along in just about 25 minutes, and he will talk about the week's national headlines. Dan Schumacher will be along, looking ahead to the weekend in sports and at the picks made by the teams in the NFC Norris Division. Still one of the greatest Chris Berman nicknames ever, giving it the Norris Division moniker. Along the way, of course, you can join the program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. At this early hour, so many folks prefer a text. And you can text it at that same number, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also use the Civic Media app to either call the show or text the show, or you can put something up on Facebook, as Roger did in Stevens Point just now. Good morning, Pat. I could hear the 200,000 plus draft fans cheer and echo 100 miles to the west when they selected a wide receiver. I don't doubt that for a moment, Roger, and we'll talk about that in just a second. First, though, we've got to get to our state forecast, and this is not what Brittany originally wrote here, Greg Bach, who joins us from Radio Park right now, but she almost wrote it as a poem. It almost rhymed enough.
Yeah.
That I decided to channel my inner Nipsey Russell.
Oh, boy.
We're skewing really old here, folks. Match game 75. All right. So basically what she sent sounds like this. A low pressure system will dampen the day with better conditions not too far away. The draft day crowds are no fans of the clouds, but that won't change the state forecast for today. Rain ending this morning in the west, afternoon in the east, still cloudy, breezy, cooler than average, highs in the upper 40s up north to the upper 50s down south. A north wind today at 10 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 30. We're going to be dealing with wind chills again today, aren't we, Mr. Bach. This is
Of course we are, because that's just where we live now. That's just we get like a morning of sunshine, then an afternoon of rain.
Yep.
And just, you know, why can't we have nice things?
We can. On Saturday and Sunday. Tonight, mostly clear and cold. Lows will be in the low 30s up north, mid 30s in the south. A north wind still at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunny over the weekend, and by Monday, much warmer, but also a chance of severe weather on Monday as well. 6 a.m. temperatures include 44 here in Chippewa Falls, 38 in Hayward, 42 in Amory, 44 in Wausau, 45 in Rapids. La Crosse is at 49, Green Bay's at 44. Madison 47, and it's 43 in the Milwaukee area. How are you doing? Did you watch any of the draft?
I did not. I was doing a show at a private party in Janesville at a winery.
Oh my gosh, you put on the miles, young man.
Yeah, I will say though, Pat, my goodness, like, so I live in Kenosha. I live in a city part of Kenosha, and It wasn't but 20 minutes driving due west, and I was just in beautiful farmland for the rest of the car. And it was, I just kept looking out at the expanse and how wonderful it was. I just kept asking myself, I just want to like pull up to these houses and be like, how are you guys doing? You guys okay? Everyone okay? How are we doing right now? It's okay if we're not. Blink twice if you're not.
I loved the driving around, both as a reporter and then as, you know, as a legislator and a candidate. I loved knocking on doors. I loved meeting people. Again, the one or two, they were very much the exception, not the rule, and didn't dissuade you. And just makes it just shows you why this is a great place to live and drive around and see things and meet people. I just love it.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Or as Todd says every day at the top of his show in the afternoons, it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite.
That's true. It really is. Yeah. And it was a great show, and they were very, very fun. It was a good evening. Got home. And what was the best part is the show started like 6. I went on about like, I don't know, it was like 6:30. I was in my car by 7:15 and home by 8:45.
Oh, well, that worked out all right.
Yeah, it was great.
Cool. Along the way, of course, you noticed more than a couple of different license plates, and I say that because in our newsletter today, Christina Laurie takes note that this is National License Plate Day, and we will explain why in our history lesson coming up later this hour. But, you know, she does note that, you know, it's not just for registering vehicles. There's kind of something aesthetic about it. You know, every state wants their own plate to be distinctive, and there's all kinds of designs out there. But, you know, there's still enough traditionalists that if they had it their way, we'd just go right back to the yellow and black license plates.
Oh, absolutely.
And we would just leave it as is.
And I'm really surprised they don't have that as an option, as a throwback vintage. Because you got you got Brewers, and there's a Packers one, right? There's Packers one.
Yeah, I think so.
Brewers, Packers, Bucks. There's the Trail one. There are so many options. Give a vintage one, yellow and black.
I know. There's also one that always throws me off. It's for the Road America course.
Yeah, that weird shape.
The course, that shape is close enough to the shape of Minnesota that it always throws me. Like, wait, what is that? And you realize, it's a Wisconsin plate. So anyway, there's a story about the many designs in the many states that you can see. That, again, is in our newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. And, of course, I'll have my Sunday morning Wisconsin Politics edition of the newsletter coming out this weekend, whenever I get around to writing it. I guess that's on today's to-do list. All right, let's get to talking about the draft here, because it was just a big old tailgate party. The final attendance estimate for last night, 205,000 people.
Wow.
By comparison, the population of Green Bay, the city, is 107,000. So, and the rain by and large held off. I kept looking at the radar, and it was one of those where Green Bay was right off the edge of the storm system, and the stuff was kind of breaking up before it would get to the Green Bay. So, I mean, that was really good news for all the crowd, so that was nice. Then you had what I thought it was a nice touch. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, and his entourage of former Green Bay Packers don't just walk out on stage. They come riding out on kids' bikes, just like the Packer players do during training camp.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so I thought that was kind of a neat touch. The kids were out there, too. They included Mason Crosby, Amon Green, Randall Cobb, Clay Matthews, And then Clay Matthews did something that I don't know if it got him in trouble or not, but he kind of rushed the podium from the commissioner and he said, I want to read this. I just got this from President Trump. And I'm like, what's this about? And I'm sure the commissioner's thinking the same thing. And he opens up the letter and he turns it around and in great big letters, he reads it and it says, you know, to the NFL draft fans, the Bears still suck. And of course the crowd just erupts. And like I said, I don't know if the commissioner necessarily approved that, but it was a quality moment.
Oh my gosh. Yesterday I made a crack when we were talking to Paul Noonan. I said, you can't spell embarrassing without Bears. And a guy goes, Packer fans don't know the word bear isn't in the word embarrassing. I'm like, all right, next time I'll say you can't spell the word embarrassing without B-E-A-R-S. My goodness.
We literally have to spell it out for you. Now, here's the thing. Coming into this draft, and there were people, you know, throughout the country that were noting this, and certainly in Wisconsin, the Packers appear to have been allergic for all these years. They will not draft a wide receiver. They just won't. And it's been a source of frustration for fans on draft day for many, many years, which leads us to this electric moment when Brian Gutekunst, the GM, steps up to the podium. Listen to the crowd. I pulled this right off the TV feed. Listen to the announcers as well as the crowd. Here comes the Packers picking in the first round of the draft.
With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver.
Listen to this crowd.
Oh, baby.
Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas.
And he's here. And he's here.
I'll tell you what, timing is everything. You wait till the draft is in Green Bay. You go get a man for the green and gold named Golden. You can't script this any better.
The crowd was just electric. Obviously, mostly Packer fans, but frankly, I'm sure people that, you know, weren't necessarily from Green Bay, but got to experience the the moment. And Roger, thank you for the correction. It was Mark Murphy at the podium there making the draft pick announcement. It was a great moment. And of course, his name is Golden.
Yeah.
And he's got this big G necklace that he's wearing up to the podium, and he looked very happy to be there. So
it was very WWE. It was very, very, there was wrestling vibes, like, you know, like listening to the commentators lose it when something happens in a match. But yeah, it was great. A lot of great excitement.
Yeah, it was a nice thing to wake up to. And look, the pick wasn't that bad either. Let's see. He had a 40-yard dash time of 4.29.
That's so fast.
He can get deep for Jordan Love, and he averages more than 20 yards a catch in 9 games last year for Texas. And the last part, I know it's pithy. I know it's petty. I don't care. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he was just eating his heart out going, I could be thrown to this guy.
No,
but you decided to be a whiny little baby man.
No, because Aaron doesn't like new people, and he wouldn't throw to him anyways.
That's a very good point. So, again, I think things worked out well for everybody.
There you go.
Yeah, that's just fine. The Brewers did not have as good a day. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break and get to the rest of the day's headlines as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. More after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It's a Friday morning live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you for being here. The San Francisco Giants rallied to beat the Milwaukee Brewers on Thursday 6-5 to take 3 out of the 4 games in the series. The hero of the game was Willy Adames. But unfortunately, he plays for the other team now. He hit what should have been a routine sacrifice fly to left field in the eighth inning, but Christian Yelich misplayed it. He fell down. It allowed the go-ahead run to score. And again, the Brewers lose 3 out of 4 in San Francisco. Coming up next is a 3-game series in St. Louis, and that gets started tonight. Coverage begins at 6:40 on several Civic Media stations around the network, so check out the Civic Media website to learn more. The Milwaukee Bucks are down 0-2. Good thing this is a best-of-7 playoff series, Greg, because we can continue to chant, Bucks in 6!
Yeah.
Bucks in 6!
Bucks in 6?
Bucks in 6 if they win the next 4 in a row.
Oh, boy, that seems like something that totally can happen.
Or they still could do it, but yeah, they might lose 3 in a row after tonight. We'll see. In Milwaukee, the game is. NBA TV is the place where you can find
If they lose tonight, it's still – was it done?
Oh, no, it's a best of 7. Best Everything is a 7-game series.
That's
now.
Right. They've only played 2 games. That's right. Okay. All right.
Yep. And you know why every series is a 7-game series?
Money.
Yes, because if they could make it 9, would just make it, yeah. No, Bucks in 6. Tony's already looking ahead. Bucks in 26.
That's funny. God, that's funny. I've always been the believer that the first round should be like 5 games or 3. Like in baseball, the first round of the playoffs should be 3 games.
Yeah, well, it is now. It's a best of the wild card thing had been a single game. Now it's a best of 3 and then 5 and then 7. And that's exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
It should build up a little bit of suspense or
drama.
3
for the first 2 rounds. Just get it over with. It'd be done. Yeah. It's like wait for 5 games. Grumble.
You go grumble over there. Here, it's Friday. I've got my Roy Kent coffee mug. You just
whistle.
Just go over there and growl while I tell folks about some of the stories that I've seen across the wire and what we're working at Up North News as well. Let's see. Here's a new one in the Journal Sentinel from Laura Schulte. Democrats hope to add a green amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution, hoping to enshrine a right to clean water, air, and soil. The lawmakers will release legislation soon known as a green amendment. It will say this or something very close to it. The people, including future generations, have the right to a clean, safe, and healthy natural environment, including clean water, clean air, healthy soils, self-sustaining ecosystems in a safe and stable climate, and to the preservation of our natural, cultural, and helpful qualities of our environment. These rights shall never be infringed and shall be subject to strict scrutiny review in court, shall be protected equitably for all communities in the state, and this constitutional amendment is self-executing. On its face, this is great. This is good because, again, much like the bill that was introduced the other day that would restore abortion rights in Wisconsin and remove all the restrictions, what you have are Democrats that are just telling you what they're for. They're standing up and no longer trying to play to the mushy middle. And I think that more Democrats feel like that's the message they're getting from people is, you know, stop eviscerating, stop, you know, bloviating, stop being obfuscating. Tell us what you're for and tell us what you would really do. Now, I will say that it does lead to this thing because I'm all the time thinking, what can Republicans do to this? And you can hear them during the campaign on this when voters are asked to put it in the Constitution. You can hear them say, oh, this gives butterflies and earthworms more rights than we have. You know, they'll just go off on a tear. So I'm glad they're proposing it, but they'd better be ready for, you know, the campaign to come. Now, bear in mind, this won't pass. It won't be on the ballot anytime soon. But it's nice the Democrats are saying, look, if we're back in the majority, we're going to give you the chance to vote on something like this. The other story I wanted to highlight comes out of the New York Times, where a real embarrassment for Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, where the Department of Transportation took the extraordinary step of replacing the federal lawyers that were defending them in a lawsuit over New York's congestion pricing program after accusing them of undermining the department's bid to end the toll. Basically, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District, which had been handling the case, said it mistakenly filed a document in federal court on Wednesday night. It was a confidential memo that questioned the Department of Transportation's legal strategy and urged a new report, saying in so many words, we're defending you in this case, Sean Duffy and the Transportation Department, but it's flimsy and we don't think we can win this. And somehow that got filed instead of, you know, sent to the right people. And so the three assistant U.S. attorneys in the case who worked on the letter were replaced, and it will now be handled by a different part of the Trump administration. The congestion pricing matter that's at the heart of this is working in New York City. It's basically to say, look, if you want to come on to Manhattan, to the island below one of the tunnels, you know, and or over the bridges, then it's going to cost you more during peak hours. And it's been working. The amount of traffic and congestion and pollution has been dropping. Some 6 million fewer vehicles entered the tolling zone compared to the same period in recent years, according to studies. And yet, Sean Duffy, Donald Trump, and others are again standing up for the cars and pollution and everything else and fighting it. These lawyers said, this is not going to work for you. And so those lawyers have been replaced. Coming up next, Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom. Later, today's history lesson, our Week in Review panel. We'll visit with Kristen Lierley. We'll talk to Devin Remiker, candidate for State Democratic Party Chair, and much more. So thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. We'll have more live from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back on this Friday. As always around this time, we talk to Kia Vakil, National Political Editor for Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News. Kia, how are you doing out there in California?
I'm doing pretty well, Pat. How about yourself up in Wisconsin?
We're all keeping the same amount of plates spinning here, trying to stay on top of all the headlines and yet not let it own us. I was going to start with President Trump's polling numbers, especially since he ran on inflation and the price of eggs and everything. But I got to start with the head shaker first. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth caught up in one signal chat, you know, leaking, war plans with a reporter on the chain. Then a second text chain has been discovered with his wife and brother-in-law, something like that. And now we discover he wanted the Signal app installed on his desktop computer at the Pentagon. This guy's a slow learner, Kia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why anyone's necessarily surprised that a former Fox News host with a history of alleged, I want to make sure to say the word alleged, alcohol abuse and physical abuse allegations, maybe with no experience in management or running a department, has some struggles running the Pentagon of all places. Yeah. And look, I have Signal on my desktop. I'm a reporter. Yep. Signal is a useful app. But when you run the Pentagon, you have access to literal trillions of dollars. Maybe don't put Signal on your desktop. Maybe use the things that the Pentagon... Maybe use the secure systems that the Pentagon has. It really just speaks to the amateur hour of Hegseth and honestly the full Trump administration. These guys are buffoons. Everyone appointed was either a billionaire, a major donor, both, or a TV host or someone who's just willing to defend everything Trump does.
Oh yeah, and then there was that gathering that's coming up of a private dinner event for everybody who bought the Trump cryptocurrency. I mean, again. In any other age, people would see
that is
so, so amazingly corrupt. But this is where we are.
Breathtaking level of corruption, because it's not even, donation campaign donations where you have like a fundraiser where, people spend $5,000 to come meet you and whatnot. That goes to your campaign. That gets spent. This goes directly into Donald Trump's pockets. Like, it is so clearly a, like, quid pro quo corruption bribery situation. And it's astonishing that people are, I mean, I don't want to talk ill of, you know, people out there, but come on, like, do better. Like, why would you waste your money on this? Like, it is, you know, at some point, like, unfortunately, the Supreme Court essentially ruled a lot of what Trump does, he's above the law. And, like, there's no real accountability for this man among a lot of voters, his own voters. But if you're the person spending thousands of dollars to buy Trump's meme coin, which, you know, if any of your listeners don't know what that is, God bless you, don't find out. There's nothing good to learn. It is just like, go do that. Go do literally anything else with that money.
Yes. And yet people contribute not only to that, but also I remember reading earlier this week, you know, his inaugural fund, you know, for the inauguration raised this crazy obscene amount of money. And of course, the inauguration was no big deal, you know, compared to any other inauguration. So all that money is still sitting in a pile someplace for Trump to play, you know, just a huge slush fund. It is really stunning. So here's the thing. And I said this yesterday as well. It's one thing when you're doing the campaigns and the politics and all of that. It's another matter when we get to what the kids like to call IRL. And in real life, inflation is a problem. The economy is a problem. And it is now becoming a problem for Donald Trump in the eyes of more of the public. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And just to tie it back to what we were just talking about, you know, Trump is shilling meme coins and profiting off this while his tariffs are devastating small businesses, creating massive uncertainty in the stock market, potentially imperiling the U.S. position as like the global economic juggernaut. And costs are not going down. And we are seeing that start to show up in poll numbers. An increasing number of people are dissatisfied with his presidency. There was a poll from Pew, which is one of the top pollsters out there, that found 59% disapprove of his job as president. Only 40% approve. Roughly the same exact numbers on his tariff increases. And, you know, just so, you know, people don't think, oh, it's just one poll. Fox News found that he was sort of wildly unpopular. He has a 44% approval rating. That's down 5 points from last month. It is lower than any other president other than his own first term. I believe, actually, no, his own first term was 1 point higher at this time. So people are not happy with the economy. That same Fox poll showed 71% of voters viewed the economy poorly. And this should not be a surprise. Donald Trump won. He might think he won to do a massive overhaul of American life. Some people think that. He won primarily because people were really upset over the inflation of the past couple of years. Yes, there are some people in that movement who want to see DEI rolled back and trans people disappeared and immigrants deported. But most people, most the voters who put Trump over the edge just want to be able to pay their rent and buy their groceries without having to work two jobs. And so he's not doing a single thing to make those people's lives easier. All of his policies have actually made it worse. If you're a senior relying on Social Security, you can't get through to the phone on anyone to ask a question. If you worked for, you know, any of the federal agencies that are all across our country and you were laid off, you don't have money. You don't have a job. You know, they're going to cut Medicaid. They've not done anything on grocery costs or housing costs. The tariffs are going to raise costs on a whole bunch of goods. And so I don't think it's surprising that his polls are going down. He's ignoring the mandate he had, which was only on prices.
And it is leading to a pushback, and not just Democrats who are holding, you know, town halls with empty chairs. Those things are still happening, and Democrats wouldn't be gaining traction on this if it weren't for a growing share of the general public saying, wait a minute, where is my Republican member of Congress? And wait a minute, what do you mean you're cutting Medicaid and you've cut all of these other things? How many times have I said in the past 2 days, cutting so many jobs, we can't do milk inspections for safety anymore. And again, as you see all the stories that come through the various newsrooms of Courier Newsroom around the country, you're seeing more and more of that public pushback from people.
Yeah, I mean, people are pissed off, and it's happening all over the country. There's pretty much weekly protests now in different places. I know there's going to be an action on May 1st for May Day. You know, people are pissed about the economy. People are angry that, you know, immigrants are being disappeared without due process. People, a lot of whom lived here legally. There's obviously real fear and discomfort that international students who got speeding tickets or parking tickets or whatnot are now having their visas revoked. There's a whole lot happening, none of which is great or good even. You know, I can't point to a single thing they've done to improve people's lives. Yeah, they've lived up to some of their like rage-driven promises of attacking trans people and immigrants, but how does that make your life better if you can't pay your rent or, you know, can't afford a car because the tariffs are making cars more expensive? And so, yeah, there is growing pushback, whether it's in Texas or Wisconsin or Nevada or Arizona, anywhere. And I don't think that's going to go away. I think people are really, really activated in a way that's heartening because, you know, if we roll over, then he can do what he wants. But if there's pushback, there's going to, you know, political rules still apply in a lot of ways.
And there are still things that cut across party lines. There's a growing number of people on the conservative side of things who are looking at things like the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia and saying, in so many words, this is not cool. And in fact, for our North Carolina outfit, Cardinal and Pine, they interviewed somebody who fled Castro's Cuba and, you know, had no problem talking about the sense of alarm that that brings to others.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you've fled, if you've left a dictatorship, I would assume that, as with, you know, that gentleman's case, you become very attuned to the signs of dictatorship and authoritarianism. And disappearances are pretty much smack dab number one, whether it was in, you know, Pinochet's Chile or, you know, Putin's Russia. That is one of the primary tactics. And, you know, first, they're going to start with folks like Kilmer Abrego Garcia, who don't have a lot of power or really any power and are vulnerable, which is why it's so important that there is pushback, because if that's allowed to happen, you know, without opposition, they're going to move on and keep doing it. And so, yeah, that gentleman from Cuba, you know, in North Carolina, spoke to our reporter and was very direct that, you know, this is a major crisis and, you know, he does not want to see what happened in Cuba happen here.
I have to end. I've got time for one more. And I just cannot believe sometimes the headlines that I'm seeing. And one of them is about a Texas legislator introducing a bill to test wastewater, not for any kind of public health reason, but to look for traces of abortion pills. So, I mean, how big government does that sound? We might go after women by testing their wastewater for things we don't want them to have.
Yeah, and I want to preface this by saying I have spent a lot of time in Texas. I lived there temporarily at one point. It's a wonderful place filled with a lot of really amazing people. It is governed by the worst people possible. From Governor Greg Abbott on down, they have been in charge for literal decades at this point. And, you know, I don't think you can say life there has gotten better. They have one of the highest uninsured rates in the country. They have one of the highest poverty rates in the country. They have some of the worst education. They just supplied $1 billion for vouchers or about to. And yeah, they have stripped women of abortion rights and now want to use the power of government to test water to make sure that women aren't having abortion pills to, you know, have an abortion. That's crazy. Like, that is, you know, I think at this point we can all agree that the party of small government was always BS. Is at this point BS, has been for quite a while. You know, they want to wield government power to fulfill their goals, and they do not care if it's hypocritical at all. And this should be scary because, you know, why it is so big brothery that, you know, I think everyone should be alarmed, even if you are uncomfortable with the idea of abortion. I think the government using this level of trying to use this level of authority to control what people do in their daily lives is terrifying.
again, we grew up with a Republican Party that stood for small government, local control, fiscal responsibility, and we've seen none of that over the past few years, and it is really striking how, again, not your father's Republican Party. Kia Vakil for Courier Newsroom from out in Los Angeles. Thank you, Kia, very much. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Hey, looking ahead to next week on the program on Monday, we will have a former U.S. Forest Service chief from Wisconsin on the damage of Trump's cuts to national parks and forests and more. Also on Monday, Senator Kelderoy is on restoring women's health care rights. And on Tuesday, we get to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer starts his stint as a regular for us. The Civic Media political editor has this week's big stories to watch for. Today's history lesson is on the way after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Now, I know you think I'm being a smart aleck. Starting sleigh ride on a cold and rainy morning in many parts of Wisconsin. But this is the anniversary of the birth of Ella Fitzgerald, born this day in 1917, passed away in 1996. Queen of jazz, first lady of song. Nobody could scat like her.
Yeah.
A million wonderful jazz tunes. It's just, I love her voice on this. This is one of my favorite songs during the holidays every year.
It just, you literally want to just hold a drink in your hand and snap your finger like.
But don't, because Ella Fitzgerald is the one for those early commercials by Memorex cassette tapes where she would hit a high note and the glass would shatter. And then they play the cassette recording and the glass would still shatter. For Memorex to go, that's how good we are. It's like, no, that's how good Ella was.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Your 14... tapes are fine.
Yeah. 14 Grammys, Presidential Medal of Freedom winner, Ella Fitzgerald, passed away in 1996.
Also, when we talk about Smart Aleck, it's not a Smart Aleck thing to play a wonderful Christmas song. It's just a great song by Ella Fitzgerald. What would be a Smart Aleck move would do this. Now, that would just be a rude move, friends.
That's a Smart Aleck move.
That is below Pat Kreitlow. Below.
And trust me, off air, I'm not going to use the word smart aleck. Trust me. Happy birthday to Al Pacino, 85 years old today. He's here with us now. There he is.
Happy birthday.
Godfather, Scent of a Woman, Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico, Donnie Brasco, Any Given Sunday, Scarface, and Justice for All. Again, pretty good resume over there.
If you want some fun YouTube Al Pacino freakouts, there's a smash cut of all of his freakouts in all of his films.
Oh, I am definitely looking for that. The number one hit this week in 1970 was by the Jackson 5. It had dethroned Let It Be by the Beatles to get to the top spot this day 55 years ago. On this day in 1987, U2 began a 9-week run at number one with their fifth album, The Joshua Tree, with hits like this.
This song is so, like, you feel like you can take on the world when you listen to this song.
Doesn't it, though? I mean, talk about a pump you up song. Where the Streets Have No Name. Again, 1987. Let's see. That's one of those you can play all the time. Some not so much.
Yeah.
This week in 1992, the number one hit was by a rap duo, age 13, Crisscross.
Do you know what their big gimmick was, Pat?
What?
They wore their clothes backwards.
No.
I'm not kidding you. That was their big thing.
I know. And God bless them.
Jump.
Yep.
You know, the late 80s and early 90s, music varied in a very jump-based economy. Like, a lot of songs about jumping.
Let's see. Let's go back 10 years ago this week. Okay. There was a new number one song after Uptown Funk had been number one on the charts for 14 weeks. And again, I still can't believe Uptown Funk is 10 years old. But anyway, it was knocked off the number one spot this day in 2015 by Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth.
It's been a long day without you.
Again,
friend.
Musical whiplash. You never know what you're gonna, what's going to get to the top of the charts.
Going for jump right to slow skate vibe.
Yep. Coming back to that U2 song Cassandra puts on YouTube, my husband was in the UW marching band, and they play that U2 song when the players run out at Camp Randall. Oh. He still gets the chills when he hears that song.
That's amazing.
Meanwhile, Tony counters with, Bono's biggest claim to fame is being the lion in Sing 2.
All right, Tony, we're done with you today. You're done. You're done. You're
well, now, actually, Tony had a, I think he had a comment in here. Oh, yeah, it's Friday, and, of course, we've changed the music around a little bit here.
Yeah.
So, Tony, I'm going to get to your concern in just a sec. First, I'm going to tell you there are some birthdays this weekend that we won't be able to get to. There's Kate Pearson, founding member of the B-52s. B2s. She's a vitamin.
It's my favorite vitamin, buddy. I get awake in the morning with a good old B2.
Kate Pearson of the B-52s turns 77 years old over the weekend.
Ugh.
Which, again, begs the question, how? And then Lizzo, who we just saw on Saturday Night Live, turns 37 over the weekend.
Nice.
Had a nice appearance on Saturday Night Live. I couldn't tell you the names of the songs.
Recently?
About a week ago.
I just got to catch up on those.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, today is Arbor Day. And we talked earlier about the Trillion Tree Challenge and how many trees have been planted since Governor Evers took office. This is National Telephone Day. This is National Plumbers Day. And finally, as noted, this is National License Plate Day. It notes a law, the first law requiring license plates that passed in New York State in 1901. And again, over at our website, you can sign up for a newsletter. That'd be upnorthnewswi.com. And in the newsletter, Christina Laurie has a story all about the license plate and the state-by-state look that everybody tries to get. But anyway, back to the comments here. Again, we don't have quite the same, shall we say, regimen of things. And Tony noticed it right away. Tony was like, "Yacht Rock? Where's the Yacht Rock? We normally play Yacht Rock on Fridays as we approach summer." Tony, we got you. We just looked for, and sure enough, there's a website for everything. This day in Yacht Rock history. So this day in 1981, Steely Dan's Time Out of Mind peaked at number 22 on the Hot 100. Some of the people in the studio for this included Patty Austin, Michael McDonald, David Sanborn, and Mark Knopfler. Not a bad deal. Thanks for making this the place to spend your mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.